Tom Gazzola joins us now. Hey, Tommy, what are you wearing? Like the tight, you got the strut specials going for tonight, for salsa night?
What an image. Yeah, absolutely. And a matching tight shirt, maybe an extra medium to make sure the outfit's fulfilled.
You got to make sure there's some stretch in those, Tommy, because if you ever get chased by the cops or something, you're not outrunning anyone in those things. Full straight leg, no knee
Gager.
Bend.
Yeah, no knee bend. But Gager, you got to have like the accents in all the right places. And you gotta highlight the trim fit European physique that I've worked so hard to maintain over these years.
Tommy's loving
tough,
the nut huggers.
It's tough.
He loves those. Those are his, those are his favorite. Now, Tommy, I know golf is your thing, and I want to get to this one because oh man. Now DeChambeau, he struggled today at the opening round of the Open Championship. He had a bad first round, and he blamed it on his driver, right? The driver sucks. Now, I think what he meant was, when you say the driver sucks, I don't think he meant the actual club. I think he meant like him hitting the driver, right? Like my driver sucks or not. And then he said he was unprofessional. But the funny part was, you had like a club rep going off about it, right? Like getting that offended by it. That's the part that I chuckle at. I'm like, no offense, old club rep. I think most of us realize when someone, you know, DeChambeau is a pretty good golfer. And when he says when the driver sucked, he's the one swinging it. He knows it's him, right? Or am I wrong?
What's that old saying? No, you're right. You're right, Greggs. But like, what's that saying? I believe a wise man told me, his name's Renato Gazzola, a poor workman blames his tools. Now, listen, DeChambeau's a highly in tune with what he's doing and his equipment. Golfer, obviously, he's one of the best in the world. But man, don't bite the hand that feeds. If you're not feuding with Brooks Koepka or anyone else on the tour that's annoyed by you, you're feuding with your club supplier and Cobra. And you're right. Like, and it's not even the rep that got into it with him. This Ben Showman is tour operations manager for Cobra. And he caddied for DeChambeau
a couple weeks ago. His quote was, it's really, really painful when he says something that stupid. He has never really been happy, ever. Like, it's very rare when he's happy. That was Showman about DeChambeau. And you know what, like, DeChambeau doesn't have a warm and fuzzy personality about him. And there is something to be said about, you know, you could be intense, you could be competitive, but my goodness, like, you don't have to be Eeyore all the time.
When you blame the equipment, like, I would have loved to have blamed the old Vons on a few five-hole goals, but deep down, I know it was my fault. But the thing is, he's gone through such lengths to customize his equipment to his specifications, I guess, with the club lengths being the same length, the massive grips on all the clubs. I mean, obviously these guys get custom made stuff, but I mean, I would think even his is even more, more specific to his specifications, how he likes his clubs. Like that's really biting the hand that feeds you there.
Yeah, and they're going back and forth here. DeChambeau saying it's literally the physics, the way that the heads are built now. It's not the right design. We've been trying to fix it. And Showman said everybody's looking for a magic bullet. The magic bullet becomes harder. The faster you swing, the lower your loft gets. And yeah, like, guys, he's got to be the most fickle guy on the tour in terms of his equipment and his gear and how he uses it. And that's cool how much he knows and how much he puts into it and how he tries to use the science to his advantage and leverage it and try to do things what other guys aren't doing. I respect that. It's just, you got to have good tact. You're somebody that young up-and-coming golfers or people who are just fans of sport are watching, and you know, you're a role model, so Don't complain. Don't whine. If you're going to do it behind the scenes. There's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And it came out innocently, harmlessly. He was just asked about his round, and he just went off on this driver. And all the while, he sewers the company that's been providing it. He sewers a guy that he has a rapport with in Ben Showman at Cobra. And it's just a bad look all around. Like, I get you're frustrated. Gager, like you said, you've been a pro. You were a pro for a long time. But there's got to be tact to how you handle these types of scenarios, isn't there?
Yeah. And, hey, boys, Louis Oosthuizen's leading. Then you have Brian Harman. He's 500. Oosthuizen's 600. Jordan Spieth's 500. And, oh, little Canadian Mackenzie Hughes right there again. He's at 400, Tommy. Hughes has been on fire here lately. He's pretty competitive.
Good. I mean, our athletes, our Canadian athletes are doing it in more than just hockey. And we're seeing it in tennis. We're seeing it in soccer. Obviously, our women's side in soccer has been tremendous for a long time. The men, obviously, getting better. And then here you go, Mackenzie Hughes in a tough tournament, in a tough setting. And all the COVID restrictions added another wrinkle to this Open Championship. And there he is, right in the hunt after day one. Hopefully, he just builds it up and continues to snowball and turn this into maybe a solid Sunday where we're talking about him hoisting a big trophy and walking away with a major championship.
Tom Gazzola joins us in Edmonton Sports Theater, TSN 1260. Tommy, lots of Zach Hyman talk. Where do you come out on Zach Hyman?
I have a hell of a lot of respect for him as a player. He works for everything he gets offensively. He does all the dirty work defensively. He scores greasy goals, pays the price, plays the right way. And that's something you have to admire. But where I'm starting to get concerned is, what will the price point be? What's that term going to look like? Can he be a 60, 70-point guy for at least a few years and earn a contract that is legitimately worth $6 million. If he's asking for $6 million a year, guys, he better be bringing it points wise. And I know, say hypothetically, he wound up here, he'd have a great opportunity to do that. I just don't know if he will be able to perform and provide at that level, considering his body of work. Now, he had his numbers projected really well this past season. But, Greg's, I think there should be some caution with him. 29 years old. How long do you want to go? How much faith do you have in his offense? Can he do it again? I think that most teams are probably asking those questions if they want to take a swing on him.
That element that you mentioned, Tommy, with the so-called like garbage goals where he's just the honey badger around the net, I think that's a trait that the Oilers have been missing a little bit for a long period of time. I think with the big two, sometimes you get caught up in such nice, good-looking goals and fancy plays that looking at the whole playoffs these last few months, you barely see a goal go in from outside, maybe 8 feet, right? It all comes in those in those hard to score areas. I love the fact that if the Oilers did make a move on Hyman, that I think that would kind of take care of that area. But like you said, it's at 6.5, 29 years old. How many years are we looking at? I'm very leery of making a move like that on a player because that's a hard way to play too. As for over an 82 game schedule, like to stay healthy. And I always hate guys that can say, oh, you play with a McDavid or you play with a Drysdale. Just because you play with a really skilled player doesn't mean it always works out too. So there's also the chemistry side of things and on that side. But to me, I'm on the other side of the fence on Hyman for right now.
I like him. I just
understand
don't like him.
The desire. Yeah.
Yeah. The term and I would take Zach Hyman, but it's got to be the right term and price. And I wrote the article today, Tommy. Term is where teams have massive buyer's remorse. Massive. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to crush you. So, you know what? Hey, Zach, you want $6 million? Okay. I would probably bite the bullet on a 3-year deal. As much as I think it's a little bit of an overpay, I'm like 3 years. I could live with that. But and the longer term is where you're gonna have buyer's remorse. And Mike Hoffman doesn't bring you near of this. He's a better goal scorer. Mike Hoffman you probably get for 1 year. He signed for $4 million last year. Probably not asking for more this year, right? Thomas Tatar, another guy. Like there's options to say, okay, I like Zach Hyman. We have to express our interest. But here's our drop dead line, and we're not going over it.
I like Tatar more because I think you can get him less. And like you said, like 5-on-5 scoring, Tatar is off the charts. So I lean more to, and I know people are saying, oh, he didn't play in the playoffs and stuff, but man, this guy's scored everywhere he's gone. I would prefer making a move on Tatar. I think you can get him for less on one of those 1 year, maybe 2 year deals, then, and we're not having to waste term on a player as well.
Gager, would Tatar make more sense as a guy you circle back to after you pick up a big piece that could play on your wing, and then you go, okay, let's see if we can get Thomas Tatar on a reasonable deal because we've gotten the main piece out of the way in, say, hypothetically again, a Hyman. Because we're at a point here where it's win now. The Oilers have acknowledged it. The fan base is craving it. And if you got a guy that, yes, provides in the regular season, which is important because it gets you to the big dance, but when he fades away in the postseason and he's done it for two organizations, that obviously is concerning. So maybe as a plan B, or after you take care of that first order of business, that's when you go to a Tatar. Does that make sense?
That's a good point, I think. And plus, as a GM thinking, maybe with the flat cap, and you have to look at teams that are probably looking at Hyman as well to add to their lineup. And maybe it does get to a point like, late before training camp that some teams are running out of cap room, and the asking price that a player started with, like Hoffman, I think, because I'm sure he was looking for upwards around Taylor Hall money last year, and it got to a point in the summer where he, or the off season, that I don't think anyone had the money to give him just because of the flat cap. Maybe GMs try to wait it out and say, hey, look, this is what we got. This is what we can offer you. And maybe then it gets to a point where, well, I want to win too. And I think that's where the Oilers would have some leverage just by having the players that they have in their lineup to make that charge at the end of the season and in the playoffs.
I'll throw this out to both of you guys. Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, guys, do you think that there's going to be some players that, like, good players scrambling for jobs this offseason really quickly? That crossed my mind real quick.
Oh, 100%. Every year there's always bargain deals. And so if you want to get – owners have a few holes to fill. July 1st is usually the worst day if you want to get value. It usually is. So, you might miss on out the guy you like the most because other teams want to overpay him. Great, let them do it. And then go in and swoop in, and you can get much better deals. Much better deals. Tommy, have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Good job, Gager. Thanks, boys. See you tomorrow.